Drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. Stand-up comedy, music, performance and science. It's a variety show with everything, it seems. Cosmic Shambles Live is a new show combining all these things. It's here in Australia and I have two of the people responsible with me. Robin Ince is best known as the host of the podcast The Infinite Monkey Cage with Professor Brian Cox. And Professor Lucy Green is one of the most respected solar scientists in the world. She's also a presenter of BBC's The Sky at Night. Welcome to the Drawing Room, guys.
Hello there.
Hello.
What is Cosmic Shambles? Why don't you take it away, Lucy?
Oh, so Cosmic Shambles is a very successful format and show that's been put on in Britain now, well, by Robin, in fact, for about the last decade. And it brings together a range of really interesting people and who are scientists, who are musicians, who are artists. And it's just an evening of celebrating things that are of interest to us all. And it's a very entertaining format.
Robin, the format itself, it's kind of pretty wild. You've kind of combined everything in this.
Well, I decided to go into the id of my own mind and decide what I wanted to create. And it's kind of a representation, I think, of my head, because I just like lots of different things. So, for instance, in my career, sometimes I write horror stories and bring out books of horror stories. Sometimes I do make films about children's dance competitions. I did one in Australia called Razzle Dazzle with my friend Carolyn Wilson, which was about 10 years ago. And sometimes I just want to know more about why the universe is as it is. And so I wanted to create a show where one moment you'd be watching someone like Diesel with a string quartet, and then the next moment you would be seeing someone like Dr. Carl or Lucy explaining the nature of particle physics, and then you have someone like Josie Long coming on and doing comedy. And I find that most people's brains actually like to be exercised in not just going, this is what you're going to get, tonight is dance music, tonight is science. They like going, ah, that was brilliant, I've just found out why orangutans look like orangutans, and now someone is doing some weird techno music. That's fine then.
Are you trying to make dry science more palatable with some music and comedy too, Lucy?
No, not at all.
I wish you could have seen Lucy's face then when you said dry science.
Did she give me angry face?
Yeah.
That's all right. I kind of was going for that, to be perfectly honest.
Because, of course, to me, science isn't dry at all. It is creative. It requires ingenuity. It requires deep thought. It requires questioning, and it requires passion, and it enables you to have these moments of discovery which are so rewarding and so exciting and so thrilling. So since that's the approach we take, or as scientists, that's who we are, and that's what we want to convey to the audience.
I know what you mean, that you know, science is incredible, but it often has a reputation, or at least people's access point to it has been kind of, maybe it's just been taught all wrong. Isn't that part of the problem? It has an image problem?
I think it has suffered in the past from an image problem. One thing we've had, though, in the UK over the last probably 10 or 15 years is a change in that image. And the Cosmic Shambles shows are part of that change in the image, where because you get to meet the scientists and see the scientists directly and share their passion, you see a side of science that perhaps people didn't get taught in the classrooms. And I mean, I'm a big believer in having teachers teaching the subjects that they're really passionate about. And so one of the issues that we've had in Britain is, well, for example, around teacher shortages. And so quite often we have teachers teaching physics who perhaps didn't carry on and do physics themselves to a university level. So if you end up with a teacher who chose to drop the subject they're teaching, they're not going to be the most passionate ones for that subject. Whereas when you come to shows like Cosmic Shambles, you get to meet the people who have actively chosen to work in this area, and then you see that it's not a dry subject at all.
When you see 2,500 people in a theatre listening to something which has a great deal of content about why the universe is the way the universe is, but the way that they lean forward, the way they're excited by the images of these, you know, of stellar nurseries, of black holes, you're not limited limited by sometimes school boards say, this is what must be taught today and this is what must be taught tomorrow. And instead, when Brian goes out, when I go and join him, we're basically allowed to pick whatever we want from the universe and say, this is why you are as you are. And there's a tremendous level of something. I think you're right. There has been a dryness sometimes in science communication. But if you watch, I mean, Brian Cox oddly is out here at the same time as we're out here. He's doing stargazing. And stargazing has had an incredible effect in the UK of people going, I should buy a telescope. I mean, you, of course, you know, in the Southern Hemisphere, some of the skies that you see and some of the lack of light pollution, of course, in the UK,
we've got
a lot
good
of light
skies.
Pollution.
We've got good skies.
Beautiful image. And you start to stare at it for a while and you go, that looks busy. That's a packed sky of light that has been travelling for millions of years. And now those photons have hit the back of my retina. Those things, once you can convey them, I think are delightful. And that's what the shows are all about. They're about reminding people of the delight of being a curious creature that may well have a finite existence, but in that finite existence has a lot of time to ask magnificent questions and doesn't need to know all the answers, just needs to go on the journey.
Lucy, your area of expertise is solar science. Generally, that's the area of, you know, science people seem most interested in, right?
I agree. So the fantastic thing is about the sun is that it is our local star on our doorstep. It's only a mere 150 million kilometres from us. And that means we can study
short
it
trip.
In enormous detail. A short trip. And also, it's not just a physical object that's interesting in its own right to study, to understand how it operates, but it's also very exceedingly beautiful to look at. So one of the things I'll be doing is showing people how the sun looks when we view it from spacecraft. And I still remember that moment when I had my first view of the sun through a specialist telescope. And it was transformed from being this sort of featureless disc in the sky that was in fact too bright even for me to look at. You know, it damages our eyes if you stare at the sun. So it was transformed from being this sort of elusive object to being this dynamic and seething ball of gas that had a huge amount of structure. And the images that we have of the sun are incredibly beautiful. And then even more than that, because it's our local star, it's the object that has the most influence on us on the Earth. So it affects our weather systems because we absorb energy from the sun. It affects our modern technology through areas like space weather. And so I think that the public really are interested in the sun for all of these reasons.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to RN. I'm Patricia Carvelis. You are in the drawing room. And tonight I'm joined by Robin Ince and Professor Lucy Green. The sun is huge, right? It's been around for a long time. Do you like how I did that? I'm just really boiling it down here. What is there left to learn? Don't we know everything we have to know?
We don't even know why the rings of Saturn exist. It's one of those shocking things where you start to go, and that one of the beautiful things, because I'm not a scientist, I come from an arts background, and it's beautiful to keep finding out that every time we think we've got to the end and we've found an answer, that answer then generates 100 new questions. That's, I think, the excitement of it is, you know, I think one of the big things we need to ask also is, why as human beings, when we have access to so much information, are we constantly making poor decisions as well? When we look at things like, you know, climate change is going to be one of the biggest issues and is one of the biggest issues that we're facing. And yet one of the greatest questions we have is, why do people believe what they believe? How is it that the human brain works? What is consciousness? So in one way, we're looking at the enormity of the universe. In another way, we're looking at something which is the size of our fist inside our own skulls and going, why is this doing this?
We're in a pretty politically, you'd have to say, a difficult time. Rising populism across the world. I mean, Trump, Brexit. It's sometimes characterised as a backlash against elites, academia, against perhaps science. What do you make of that? I'll start with you, Lucy.
Well, so this is something that we talk about a lot at the moment in Britain, particularly with my colleagues, because it's pretty shocking for us to feel that we're moving into a position of no trust, but also that there's a backlash against people who have been generating new knowledge and disseminating new knowledge. And it's also sort of doubly worrying because a lot of the work that we do involves interacting with the public. So from my point of view, what have I missed that has meant we've got to this position where we haven't realised that there is this viewpoint? So I don't know. I think the work around public engagement still needs to continue because it's that dialogue to, that builds trust and understanding that's really important.
What do you think, Robin?
There's a great, very angry writer called Harlan Ellison, who's in his 80s now, and he once said a rather wonderful line. He said, "You're not entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to your informed opinion. No one has the right to be ignorant." And I think we've kind of come across this odd time where people go, "My opinion is worth as much as yours." Now, I can tell you now, my opinions on particle physics, my opinions on modern ballet, my opinions on opera, my opinions on evolutionary biology and sequencing of genomes is not worth diddly squat. That's true. I don't know what I'm talking about most of the time. And you, I think, are beginning to pick up on that as well. And this is so, you have to, if we don't start embracing doubt, if we don't start accepting our own ignorance, we're in a very dangerous position. I think one of the problems with people's misunderstanding of science is they presume that it's arrogant. Whereas, of course, real science is quite humble. Real science doesn't say we've come up with the right answer. It comes up with saying we have the least wrong answer for now. Unfortunately, social media, amongst other things, I think has made people very staunch in saying, "I'm right." Because the great thing about social media is you only have to find five out of, say, 27 billion people that agree with you. And however lunatic your opinion is, they go, "See, I found five people, therefore I'm right." And we're always, you know, you don't just send your car. You take your car to someone who has been trained to mend cars. You know, you do think there are a lot of the time in our life we use experts, and yet sometimes we've decided to call them arrogant when they're not arrogant. They're just people who spend their whole life studying this thing. So they are better than us. And people don't like that idea.
You touched on this a little earlier, Lucy. You've spent some time talking at schools about science, about astronomy. What's your sense about how much interest there is in schools for careers in science, particularly, you know, this ongoing issue we have where girls obviously are just not entering sciences at the university level where we want them to be?
Yeah, so I mean, this is a topic that's really close to my heart, hugely interesting, and lots of research has been carried out to understand what children think at different ages and at what points they start to disengage from science. And so for us in the UK, it's around sort of 10, 11, 12 years old. Before that age, there's strong interest in science, particularly in astronomy and space science. I think it's dinosaurs and astronomy are the two things that really get children excited. But then after sort of 10, 11 years old, you get the transition to secondary school. And I think there's a sort of change in the way that science is taught. It's less playful and creative, and it's more bookwork and repetition. And I think that is potentially damaging. But yeah, for some reason then, cultural expectations come in, subconscious biases come in, children switch off of science and the girls switch off of science more than the boys do. By the time you get to the point where girls are choosing the subjects, science and mathematics drops off the table for them. But there are interventions that you can do, and I think talking about this issue is one of the most important things, and raising it with the girls themselves to say, look, these careers are here for you. Just because you may not have been encouraged to take part in them until now doesn't mean that you're not able to do them if you're interested in that.
And also it's having good examples. People like Lucy are a good example. People like Helen Chersky, who's on with us as well, who's a bubble physicist. It's making sure that if you have, like with the Infinite Monkey Cage, the show that I do with Brian Cox, you know, it's very important that we try every week to make sure that one of the scientists on that is a woman. Sometimes you have to work a little bit harder to find the people because it's not as big a pool. But as long as you keep seeing representations, then people go, oh, yeah. Oh, it's not just all fusty old men going, well, when I first got my microscope, you actually see people and you go, oh, this is a contemporary thing. This is real and it's now.
Hey, guys, thanks for coming in. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Joining me tonight, that's Robin Ince, best known as the host of the podcast The Infinite Monkey Cage with Professor Brian Cox and also Professor Lucy Green there, one of the most respected solar scientists in the world. For more information on what they're doing, cosmicshambleslive.com is where you find all information about that show.